discourse on all the taints. Prabhasava Sutta, this discourse appears in middle and saying that this is the second discourse. Thus have I heard at one time the Lord was staying near Savatthi in the Jetha Grove in Anathapindika's monastery. While he was there, the Lord addressed the monks, saying, "Monks, you heard one." These monks answered the Lord in assent. The Lord spoke thus, "I will discourse to you, monks, on the means of controlling all the taints. Listen and attend carefully and I will speak." "Yes, Lord," those monks answered the Lord in assent. The Lord spoke thus, "I, monk, am speaking of the destruction of the taints in one who knows, in one who sees, not in one who does not know, does not see. And what, monk, sees the destruction of the taints in one who knows, in one who sees? There is wise attention and unwise attention. Monks, from unwise attention, taints arise that had not arisen, and also taints that have arisen increase. But, monks, from wise attention, taints that had not arisen do not arise, and also taints that have arisen decline." And then Buddha explained that there are monks, taints that should be got rid of by vision. There are taints that should be got rid of by control. There are taints that should be got rid of by use. There are taints that should be got rid of by endurance. There are taints that should be got rid of by avoidance. There are taints that should be got rid of by elimination. There are taints that should be got rid of by development. So there are these seven things. And what, monks, are the taints to be got rid of by vision? Here, monks, an uninstructed ordinary person, taking no count of the pure ones, unskilled in the Dhamma of the pure ones, untrained in the Dhamma of the pure ones, taking no count of the true men, unskilled in Dhamma of the true men, untrained in the Dhamma of the true men, does not comprehend the things which should be wisely attended to. Does not comprehend the things which should be wisely, should not be wisely attended to. He, not comprehending the things that should be wisely attended to, not comprehending the things that should be, should not be wisely attended to, wisely attend to things, those things which should not be wisely attended to, does not wisely attend to those things which should not be, should be wisely attended to. So there are things that we should be attending to. Actually, it's not wisely attending, it's actually attending. The manasikara, or the attention, is the one mentioned in the Pali. So there are things that we should make our mind go and sort of think about, the contemplations. And there are things we should not be doing. So for those things we should not be attending to. If we attend to those, then this the taints will come to increase. over here, these taints are, this in Pali is Kama Astro, Bhava Astro, and Avidya Astro are the ones that we are talking about. And Buddha said that, and what, monks, are the things that should not be wisely attended to? So the things that we should not be wisely attending to, manasikaroti, that we should not be giving any attention to, but to which he wisely attends. We should not be doing it, but we are doing. From his attending to those things, these things, monks, the canker of sense pleasures arise, which had not arisen before. Or the canker of sense pleasure arisen increases. The canker is the same as the taints. The taint of becoming arises, which had not arisen before, or the taint of becoming arisen increase. For the taint or canker of ignorance arises, which had not arisen before, or the canker of ignorance arisen increases. These are the things to which he wisely attained, but which should not be wisely attended to. So how, what are these taints? What we are talking about taints here, destruction of taints. So it's not easy to understand that one at once. So I have given you a printout. It's a sort of a table form, and you can see how these taints come to arise. It's a pretty complicated thing that is happening over here. So they are labeled in Petakopadesa as the unprofitable directions. So this one is the first unprofitable direction. Actually, the direction has got 10 things. I have presented only first 6, up to the 10s. So first one you can see, there is this physical nutriment, or kabalikara ahara, or the edible food that we eat. So one should see that we are also edible food. The edible food, what we eat, also edible food, and we are also edible food. If you think about a crocodile or someone, an animal will eat us, our body. So the physical nutriment. So when we get this physical nutriment, we get this perversion that there is fear in the fowl. Asube subanti vipallasu. So we perceive this food as fair thing. A person as a fair thing, not a foul thing, a fair thing. And the food, fair thing for us. Because of that one, clinging to sensual desire come to arise. So we cling to sensual desire. Because that, let's say I have eaten something, it is tasty. So I go with that taste and I'm happy with that one. So I eat today, I want it tomorrow, I want it day after, and so on. So there's this clinging to sensual desire. Because of the sensual desire, then there is this bond of sensual desire. Bond of sensual desire is that because I like food, I want to eat food, then I have to earn it. To earn it, I need to go to work. So now I am actually bound to that workplace, for example. Right? And so can anyone eat without earning? So everybody got to do that one, right? Unless you have renounced these things or become a monk or someone. So there is this bond of sensual desire. So we are bound, whether you want to retire or get out, but there is no way. Unless you give up eating and everything. So, but you can't do it either. So bond of sensual desire. Because of the bond of sensual desire, there is this body tie of covetousness. It's called Abhijja Kaya Grantha. Now, as we can see, we are bound to the workplace, we are bound to the society, and so it's like a bondage, it's like a rope attached to that one. I want it and I'm bound to it. I can't give it up. So, since we have this body tie of covetousness, so you can see there is this tying to defilements, tie, you know, they're like a rope, there's tying the defilements. In Petakopadesa explain, tying the defilement that assail him are called remorse. If there are defilements that assail me, if I am tying to those defilements, then it is called remorse. So, and the remorse is underlying tendency. See, there's a big statement over here. The remorse is the underlying tendency. And my defilements, the tying with the defilement, is called the remorse. Whenever I have remorse, that means the remorse, what are the remorse? That I have done something wrong, right? Things like that. Oh, I got this sensual desire for this particular food, so therefore I am not happy to give it up. So that one keep on, you know, hankering my mind, this particular thing. So whatever the desires, they become remorse. So basically, if you are thinking in simple terms, that means I do not like to give it up. It's the wording over here. I don't like to give it up. I can't give up my job. I can't give up my food. I can't give up, you know, those things. Since I do that, then the taint of sensual desire, kamasava. So that's the first one. The sensual taint of sensual desire occur because of that one. See, that we start with the edible food, nutriment. And then the second path, so this path actually continues further down, and it's going to something called Bab of Lust as well, and then it's actually holding to the consciousness, steadying on the nutriment, whatever the nutriment, whatever thing that I ate, you know, the form that gave rise to that pleasure, I'm holding from my mind. So Then there is the second direction. That's the contact as nutriment. Now imagine that the same food that I have eaten before, now I see in a table or somewhere, in a shop or somewhere. So there is this contact, the eye contact or ear contact, those things will occur. So because of that one, the perversion that there is pleasure in the painful. That this particular food that I ate was fair for me and I like it, and so that the pleasure come to arise. But the pleasure is actually, you can see, become a painful thing. And so that then I am sort of happy now, happy what I ate, I am happy now, and I'm actually holding the future. I'm holding it thoroughly, that I want to be born, I want to have these pleasures tomorrow, day after tomorrow, and in the future, and so on. So there is this virtue and duty clinging, because I want to be better, better and better.
That I want to be born thing is hidden, isn't it?
It is.
It is hidden.
Yeah, it is hidden because that I ate yesterday and I am happy, I want to have it tomorrow. So whenever you say tomorrow I want to have it, means that that is the
Yeah, and so in case if we die there today, so we have that feeling is still
there. It is there.
In the future.
Yeah. So, so there is this bond of existence. I want to exist. Bond of existence. Because of the bond of existence, there is this body tie of ill will. So sometimes it's hard to see why it is. When you have the existence, why am I going to angry? I'm happy, I want to have these things in the future and so on. But all of a sudden I'm getting angry. Well, because of the impermanent nature, the very same thing I like, right? Let's say I got a food, something that I like, it's not available in the supermarket, right? No longer you are able to buy that one. Or that I am happy now, my family is here and everything is fine and in the house is fine, but my job is fine, but you are sacked from the job or something. And there is this ill will. I thought that it is really good, now it's no longer. Or tsunami, or earthquake, or something terrible happened. So I'm angry now, because I thought, because this, what is actually happening, the contact was as a nutriment, and then I thought that it is pleasurable. Now no longer pleasurable. So it's displeasure. So I'm angry now. So there is this body tie of ill will. Although I have the anger, I am clinging to my pleasurable feeling. So that's the distinction you have to make, that there was this pleasure, I like it, so I cling into that one. So as before, now this one is assailing that person. So there is this remorse. So underlying tendency is there. So therefore this taint of existence. Always in a pleasurable feeling, then the tendency to attachment lies, and the displeasure feeling, tendency to aversion lies. Like that, there is this remorse, and so there is taint of existence. So bhavasavo. So there were two things that we covered now. And the third one mentioned in the discourse is that the taint of ignorance. It is happening from the third and the fourth both. So the third one is the mental volition as nutriment. So there is volition, what I do, the formation of things. After perceiving that pleasurable feeling that I had, I perceive that one to be pleasurable. So therefore I have the volition, I am bound to that thing, whatever the feeling that I had. So because of the perception, I get the volition. So there is this perversion that there is self in the not self. Although it is not mine, I insist that this is mine. And so there is this view clinging. There is a clinging. Because of the view clinging, there is this bond of views. Like the previous case where we have the clinging to sensual desire led to the bond of sensual desire. Now these views are bond of views. I am really attached to my view. I can't get rid of my view that I am, for example. I can't get rid of. And so there is this body tie of misapprehension. So now I got it wrongly that I am myself, you know, whatever thing it is. So the feeling that I had was it is mine. So I took it as mine and I perceive it as mine. And because of that one, I got the misapprehension. That misapprehension, I continue with that one. So the taint of views. Okay. The dityasa. So the person now went on the first direction, the second direction, third direction. So that person will actually continue on the fourth direction as well, because all these directions are going further down. So there is this consciousness as nutriment. Now the volition normally produces the consciousness. That is the function of the volition. So consciousness as nutriment, the perversion that there is permanence in the impermanent. Because I ate something yesterday, and I'm most pleasurable, I perceive that one to be pleasurable, then I have this chetana or volition regarding that one holding my mind. So there's consciousness was born out of this action. Now, when the consciousness is born, you can see if it is a food, for example, something that I ate before, and the next day I see that particular food, also my consciousness, you can see, spread about that object. For example, I see Padmasiri yesterday, and today also, so when I saw him yesterday, something constructed in my mind. And today I see, so my mind is familiar with him. So there is this spread of my mind about that particular person. So that's Padmasiri, right? Like that food that I ate is food over here. So I can see, I cannot see the consciousness yesterday was constructed, today was constructed, because it's the same type of copy. I didn't see any difference in that food, right? The same thing constructed again. So I do not see the consecutive occurrence of consciousness. One would see sort of thing that this is, well, it's the same as before, so it's permanent. The construction is permanent. But you do not know it was a construction, but I see the same thing again and again. So one would lead to this perversion, the wrong thought, that there is this permanence in the impermanent. So therefore there is this self theory clinging, that is, having perceived a self, one would cling to that one. And there is this bond of ignorance. Because of that, there is this bond of ignorance, avijja yoga. And the bodhicitta of insistence that this is the truth. Remember in the previous one, I was actually telling this, the taint of view, has got the insistence that this is mine. It always insists, the characteristic of taint of view is to insist that these things are mine. And misapprehension as well as the insistence. Since I insist that it is mine, now this can become a bodhicitta of insistence that this is the truth. That what I am saying here is that this is mine, or am, this I am, is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. So there is this, idam sacchavi nivesa kaya kanta. So that's how we get the taint of ignorance. So you can see that the taint of sensual desire, the taint of existence, and the taint of ignorance. So there are three things that we learn. Right? We will come back to the other part of the page later. And and what monks are the things that should be wisely attended to, but to which he does not wisely attend? So that means it's not wisely attending, it is actually the not attending. From his attending to these things, monks either canker of sense pressure, which had not arisen, does not arise. If the canker of sense pressure has arisen, it declines. Or if the canker of becoming, or if the canker of ignorance has arisen, it declines. These are the things that should be wisely attended to, but to which he does not wisely attend. If he wisely attend to things which should not be wisely attended to, if he does not wisely attend to things which should be wisely attended to, taints arise which had not arisen before, and also taints arisen increase. If you have the wise attention, it goes. So now Buddha explain the ayanusumanasikara, how we do the unwise attending, not wisely attending. In these ways, he is not wisely attending. What are the ways that we are not wisely attending? If he thinks, now was I in a past period? Now was I not in a past period? What do you mean? Was I in a past period? I ate something yesterday, right? Now today when I see that thing, I go into that one. Yesterday also I ate that one. So was I in the past? See the point? Having got something, you know, you got some sort of experience today regarding something that you had have perceived it before. Now, as you have done it before, while perceiving it over here, you would go back to the past and see, was I in the past to eat that thing? Am I the person who perceived that thing? Right? Like that. Now, was I not in a past period? Now, what was I in a past period? Was I a man? So, it can go back to, you know, the past births and all those things as well. Now, how was I in a past period? Now, having been what? What did I become in a past period? Now, will I come to be in the future period? So, now he's predicting to the future. You know, who am I going to be? You know, what I am going to be, sort of thing. Now, will I not come to be in the future period? Some people think that after death, that's it, and sort of thing. So, will I be born or will I not be born in that sense? Now, what will I come to be in future period? Now, how will I come to be in a future period? Having become what? What will I come to be in a future period? Or if he is now subjectively doubtful about the present period and thinks, now where am I? Am I existing or am I not existing? Right? The most part, beings are thinking either that it is present or it is absent. Like that. Either exists or does not exist. That's what all the time thinks. They are not thinking about the arising phenomena or the passing away phenomena. How things come to arise.
And not only that, and I think people have the ignorance of that the person or a being is made out of these four great elements, isn't it? That's why.
But it does not know. The person does not know that one. Mm. So it's just thinking there is something, soul or something, you know.
Yeah.
It's permanent and continuing. Mm? Now am I? Now am I not? Now what am I? Now how am I? Now whence has this being come? Where going will it come to be? To one who does not pay wise attention in these ways, one of wrong views, six wrong views, Buddha said, come to arise. There is for me a self. Because I perceived something yesterday, I perceive the same thing today, so there's a self. The view arises to him as though it were true. That the insistence, because of that insistence, as though it were real, oh, there is not for me a self. Some people think like that one, there's no self. Like if someone sees that I do not exist, that means whenever they say I do not exist, then there is no father, mother for that person, right? And there is no teacher to teach him in the past either. So there's these two extremes. Or simply by self, am I aware of self? Since there is this self that who ate yesterday and eating now. So from the self, I am aware of the self. Or simply by self, am I aware of not self? Or simply by not self, am I aware of self? The view arises to him as though it were real, it were true, as though it were real. Or wrong view occurs to him, whatever is that self for me that speaks, that experiences and knows that experience is now here, now there, the fruition of deeds that are lovely and that are depraved, it is this self for me that is permanent, stable, eternal, not subject to change, that will stand firm like unto eternal. This monk is called going to wrong views, holding wrong views, the wiles of wrong views, the wriggling of wrong views, the scuffling of wrong views, the fetter of wrong views. All the wrong views. Now, if you go back to that diagram again, diagram part of it, now you can see that this is the net that is hard to sort of see by someone easily. So you can see we discuss the physical nutriment and then we talk about the taint of sensual desire, right? So I'm sort of elaborating on three paths over here. The second one, contact as nutriment, going to the taint of existence. The third one, mental volition as nutriment, going to taint of views. So what happened in the physical nutriment case, you can see that we have gone through this path, first path, going down the arrow, the taint of sensual desire, kamasa, come to arise. Now, having eaten something, for example, having seen somebody before, let's say that person or that food now come to contact in my eye. So now I am actually talking about the first line in that diagram going horizontal. So there is this contact as nutriment. When the contact as nutriment, you are guaranteed you are actually going through the other, the down path as well. And so you would lead to the taint of existence. And the contact as nutriment, whenever I get the contact, I get a feeling. Whenever I get contact, I get a perception. The perception perceives the feeling that I felt. If it is pleasurable or displeasure, the perception knows about that. Now you can see there is a small loop over here. And then this perception, because of the perception, we have the mental volition. The volition occur because of the perception. If there is no perception, there won't be any volition. And by the time of volition, we are connected with that nutriment, whatever the nutriment. And then we are using it, and also we remain holding to that one in the volition. And whenever we get the volition, you can see there is for me a self, that view, those views, those are the views that come to arise. How do we got that views? That's what Buddha explained in this discourse. Because of the unwise attention, was I in the past? Because not knowing this diagram, not knowing this, what is happening. I ate yesterday, I'm eating now, tomorrow, and this is mine. So there is for me a self, the continuing thing. So whenever we get these views, then we lead to the taint of views, the tiyasa. Taint of views, you can see when I am down over and that particular point, then there are arrows that go into the taint of ignorance. And the taint of views go into the taint of sensual desire. They are immediately, you can go into that one. These are actually from the Pattana Pali in the Abhidhamma Pitaka, the third book of Pattana. Pattana explained that this from whenever you have these things, it's you are bound to go into this this thing. And so you get the ignorance. Whenever you get the ignorance, you can see the is this kamasa, the taint of sensual desire. So you started with the physical nutriment. You can see you went down in that path and you went across. And now coming back to the taint of views and the taint of ignorance, we are back in that diagram again. It's a loop. How do we get the loop? That as I said in that note, at the bottom of that one, there are other links between these states. Below this diagram, there are another four states. So, for example, the taint of sensual desire lead to something called raga sala, that is called barb of lust. Whenever there is barb of lust, then this the form become the steadying point for consciousness. So you can see there is a loop in the first line itself. First one, go back from the physical nutriment. I go to the lust one, and then I'm going back to the food that I ate, the person that I saw, right? Whenever I go to the top line, you can see you are continuing on the other side. Going back again to the bottom of this diagram over here. So you go back to over here, coming over here, then going back over here. So you are looping. Each line you can see, you are looping. Because if you go through this line again, the second line again, this one go back to the feeling. The first line go back to the nutriment, the form. The second line go back to the feeling. So when you get back to the feeling, perception, and you continue on that one, right? So, and this one going back to the perception. So again, you continue on that one. And the mental volition itself lead to the, since there's no space, I cut down that part. From the mental volition, you are leading to consciousness at the bottom. So mental volition is the one that constructs the consciousness. So whenever it constructs the consciousness, it leads to the taint of ignorance as well. So there are six steps that we discussed before. So this is what is happening. With the unwise attention, and these views coming in, when the views comes in, and we are back to the, we can travel through any path we like, depending on our characteristic. If a person is sort of a, you know, that they have tendency to sensual desire and sort of thing, so he's bound back to the sensual desire path, he'll live on that one. And he is sort of a view that nothing is mine, you know, nothing belongs to me and sort of thing. I do not exist after this sort of thing. Then he will normally continue in this anger path with the, or he can continue in the same path as a third path, or he can go in the anger path. So you can see, unless one would see, that's why Buddha said that this is, the destruction is for one who see. One who see, one who know. If someone knows that this is what is happening to me, then he can actually see these things. So, that this taint of sensual desire, it can be get rid of by the contemplating on the first noble truth. And then the taint of existence is can be get rid of by the second noble truth. And then the taint of views can be get rid of by the third noble truth. And then the fourth one, taint of ignorance, can be get rid of by the eightfold path. So those are the ones to get rid of these taints. And fettered with the fetter of wrong views, monks, the uninstructed older person is not set free from birth, from old age and dying, from grief, from sorrow, from ills, from tribulations, from miseries. He is not set free from anguish, I say. But the instructed disciple of the pure ones, who takes count of the pure ones, who is skilled in the Dhamma of the pure ones, well trained in the Dhamma of the pure ones, who takes count of the true men, who is skilled in the Dhamma of the true men, well trained in the Dhamma of the true men, he comprehends the things that should be wisely attended to. He comprehends the things that should not be wisely attended to. He comprehends the things that should be wisely attended to, comprehending the things that should not be wisely attended to, does not wisely attend to those things which should not be wisely attended to, then things like that, am I in the past, was I in the past, sort of thing. So he wisely attend to those things which should be wisely attended to, and which monks are the those things which he does not wisely attend to, because they should not be wisely attended to. Those things monk by wisely attend to, which there arises cank of sense pleasures. Whatever that increases those sense pleasures, he is not attending. And the canker of ignorance, canker of existence, whatever thing that leads to that one, now you can see this Dhamma, what are the things that lead to these things? That's what we discussed. So he is not attending to those things. These are the things to which he does not wisely attend, because they should not be wisely attended. And which monks are the things to which he wisely attend, because they should be wisely attended to. Those things monks by wisely attending, to which there does not arise canker of sense pleasures, which had not arisen before, or the canker of sense pleasure which arisen before, decline. Canker of becoming, canker of ignorance arisen before, decline. These are the things to which he wisely attained, because they should be wisely attained. So, to get rid of these things, as I said, the contemplating of the Four Noble Truths is one thing. And going through this diagram is another thing. If you really understand this diagram, what is happening over there, thinking about it, itself lets you get out of it. If he is one who does not wisely attend to things that should not be wisely attended to, if he is one who wisely attend to things that should be wisely attended to, both the taints which have not arisen do not arise, and the taints which have arisen decline. So if I'm thinking about the edible food or a person, if I think that the foul nature of that thing, you know, that these 32 parts of the body, for example, contemplating that one, then the sensual desire does not arise. Then the thought of renunciation come to arise. So the Buddha is thinking, he is thinking this is anguish. He is attending that this is suffering. Wisely attend to that one. This is the origin of suffering. This is the stopping of suffering. This is the cause leading to the stopping of suffering. Wisely attend to that one. So therefore, by doing that contemplation, all those things stains go away, because he wisely attained. Thus, the three fetters decline, wrong view as to own body, doubt, adherence, sakkāyaditti vichikicca sīlabbata parāma. So those things go away. Wrong view is from the third one, And then the adherence to rites and ceremonies is from the second path, the third one in the second line. And the doubts. If he does not know this Dhamma, then there is this doubt. These monks are called the taints to be got rid of by vision. So by knowing, these are the ones to be got rid of. And what monks are the taints to be got rid of by control? Katamacha vikke vyasava samvarapahatabha. That's the Pali word. In this teaching, monks, a monk wisely reflective, lives control with control over the sense organs of the eye, of the ear, of the nose, of the tongue, of the body, of the mind. Whereas monks, if he lived uncontrolled in regard to control over these sense organs, taints which are destructive and consuming might arise. But he lives controlled with control over these organs, then the taints which are destructive and consuming are not. These monks are called the taints to be got rid of by control. It's like let's say if you take a food example again. So if I'm a diabetic person and if I know that this sweet food, for example, right, it's harmful for me, and doctor has advised me do not eat this sort of thing. And if I don't control my tongue, then I go in that direction and I destroy myself. That's one way. So if I know that the sensual desire, the first path we were talking about, first unprofitable direction, if I know that whatever thing that I hear, see, hear and so on, there are these five strands of sense pleasures. So whatever the things that are appealing, enticing, if I give in to them, if I don't control my eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, then that means I'm going through that taint of sensual desire.
So we need the restraint of the faculties. So we still eat food.
We still
taste the food, but...
But you are actually eating only for the living, not for beautification, not for the taste, just for the maintenance of the body.
So at the time we are eating, we actually put our attention to... We still taste it, but the attention's different.
Yeah, you are not giving into that taste. So this is yummy and I am... it is good and I'm not... making it known to others either, you know, that I'm not broadcasting this one either, right? Normally that's what we do. We eat, this is tasty, so invite others, this is really tasty, you eat, you taste sort of thing. So it's called abhivadati, that is this, first you seek delight in it, that's why you go and buy it and cook it and make it nicer. And then you welcome it. When you are welcoming it, you are welcoming all others as well. Come, taste sort of thing, right? And then you remain holding to it. So this is what is normally happening. So this person knows the consequence of this one. If I keep on doing that, then this is where I'm ending up. So you just eat just for the maintenance of the body, not for the beautification, not for anything else.
Yeah, but that is something happens quickly when you understand or realize the nature of the food, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
if you actually see that if this food, what will happen to the food if you eat, and then in the stomach, you know, the vomit, you vomit it and see how it is, and then you see this is a disgusting thing, right? So one got to have that idea as well. But if you see this diagram alone and you see the danger, what's going to happen, the bad one is that whenever we have these views, if we die, you know, when the mind holds the gratification of that food or whatever thing it is at that time, if we die, Buddha said most probably we'll be end up with hell, animal realm or plane of departure at that time. That's the danger. If you see Aditya Pariyaya Sutta, Buddha explain it saying that if the gratification, if the mind holds the gratification of the whatever the object is, those five strands of sense pressures, at that time if you die, it's really dangerous. You're lucky if you don't die at that time. It has happened. It has happened. That's why Buddha is saying. And there are sort of stories, examples as well. So we have to be careful. We just eat for the sake of eating, the maintenance of the body. It's not only eating here, all five. Whatever thing I see from my eye, whatever thing I hear, you know, sounds, all those things. So be mindful and do that one.
So, is there any overlapping here with the five hindrances and the taints?
Well, taints are five hindrances. Five hindrances are taints. They are very well linked. For example, the sensual desire for the internal is leading to that view of the self. The third one you were talking about, the third line that we discuss in this diagram, that this line continue from here to here, that if I have the sensual desire for the internal, the materiality, my body, my feelings sort of thing, right? So then there is this view of the self. When you have that one for the external thing, like a food or any other things, then the other views come to arise. That these are mine. This I am, that is the internal. And so you can see the sensual desire became a view. So they are all connected.
So the views come from chetana, mental yes. volition. Is volition the same as want? Like in English, I find it hard to see.
When you say want, I want this, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, is that volition?
Well, it has got that part. Part of it is there, that the will is there. So since there is a will that you say, I want, right? So there is a connection. And volition is that something like that you are connected with something, connected with food or something, right? And you are using it. The food you use, if you have the excrement and the food, you don't use excrement, right? You are not even connected with that one. You see it, but you don't have no connection. But if you see the tasty food, then you are connected and you are using it, right? And also, you cling to that one. There's a clinging. So the volition always has got a clinging component in it.
So volition, like when you want something, it creates volition. And you won't get actually what you want.
It is complicated. Volition is the one construct everything else. Mm-hmm. Volitional formation, sanskara, is the one that construct the form as form, the feeling as feeling, the perception as perception, the volition as volition, and the consciousness as consciousness. It construct everything. So therefore, we go into the very complicated scenario.
And again, when you want something, and it's not just that want, that idea, because when you want something, then you create a lot of other things in your mind connected to that.
Mm.
And which color, which thing, how I'm going to use that, where is it, and all these things. That makes the volitional formations, that make it more, isn't it?
That's making more, yeah.
Does it a different sort of... By translating it into English, so when you say samskara and chetana, they are the same root.
They are the same thing.
Yeah, in English they use the same word in the translation. So
they use the volition and the volitional formation.
Yeah,
but they are the same thing.
Oh.
They are the same thing. The samskara is karma, is volition. Buddha said in the, remember that discourse that we had, I don't know whether you were here, the karma is the volition. Chetana bhikkave kammangadami. Right? So that means that the chetana, the volition, is the karma. So sanskara is again the volition. So it is complicated in those wording, and if you wrap up with this thing. But the simply, you can see the volition, and for me, volition and the volition formation and the these things are the same. So, and what monks are the taints to be got rid of, by use. In this teaching, a monk wisely reflective uses a robe simply for warding off the cold, for warding off the heat, for warding off the touch of gadfly, mosquito, winds, and sun, creeping things, simply for the sake of covering his nakedness. Wisely reflective, he uses arms foot, not for sport, not for indulgence, not for personal charm, not for beautification, but just enough for the support and sustenance of the body, for keeping it unharmed, for furthering the Brahma-faring, thinking, thus do I crush out former feeling and do not get set going new feelings. And there will be for me forcelessness and living in comfort. Wisely reflective, he is a lodging only for warding off the cold, for warding off the heat, for warding off the touch of gadfly, mosquito, wind, sun and creeping things, only for dispelling the dangers of the season, for the purpose of enjoying seclusion. Wisely reflective, he uses the requisite of medicines for the sick of warding off injuries, feeling that have arisen for the maximum of well-being. Whereas monk, if he does not use the requisite, the taints which are destructive and consuming might arise. But because he does use them, therefore these taints which are destructive and consuming are not. These monks are called the taints to be gotten off by use. You see, the taints that are destructive and consuming, the sensual desire is a destructive taint. Ill will is another destructive one. Cruelty is another one. And then if we can't exceed the form, when we think about the form, if we can't exceed the form, then again it's destructive. And if we think about the own body, that is five aggregates subject to clinging, if we can't exceed it, then we become destructive. And what monks are the taints to be gotten off by endurance? In this teaching, a monk wisely reflect to is one who bears cold, heat, hunger, thirst, the touch of gadfly, mosquito, wind and sun, creeping things, wastes of speech that are irksome, unwelcome. He is of a character to bear bodily feelings which arise, are painful, acute, sharp, shooting, disagreeable, miserable, deadly. Whereas monk, if he lacked endurance, the taint which are destructive and consumed might arise. But because he endures, therefore these taints which are destructive and consuming are not. These monks are called taints to be gotten off by endurance. You see that someone making a harsh speech, you know, scolding you or something like that. And if we do not have this endurance of that one, then what will happen? Then we go into the angry state as well, right? Just because that words that hit my ear, nothing happened, it didn't hit me. But it's just words. Those destructive things. So one would have to bear these things with endurance. The fifth one is that what monks are the taints to be gotten off by avoidance. In this teaching, a monk wisely reflect to avoid fierce elephant, avoids a fierce horse, avoids a fierce bull, avoids a fierce dog, a snake, that stump of tree, a thorny brake, a deep hole, a mountain slope, a refuse pool, a rubbish pit. Wisely reflecting, he avoids that which is not allowable seat, and that which is not lawful resort for alms, and those who are depraved friends. For if he were sitting on what is not allowable seat like that, if he were walking in what is not lawful resort for alms like that, if he were associating with depraved friends like that one, that means this is corrupt friends, if he have association with the corrupt friends, his intelligent fellow Brahmafaras would suspect him of depraved qualities. This guy is actually behaving like that one, associate with these bad people because he is bad. That's what people think, right? Whereas monks, if he does not avoid these occasions, the taints which are destructive and consuming might arise. But if he avoid them, therefore these taints which are destructive and consuming are not. These monks are called the taints to be gotten off by avoidance. So it is up to that level. Not even associating with those bad ones. And the sixth one is and what monks are the taints to be gotten off by elimination? Vinodana pahatabba. In this teaching, a monk wisely reflective does not give it into thoughts about sense pleasures that has arisen. He gets rid of it. He eliminates it. He makes an end of it. Send it to ceasing. He does not give it into malevolent thought that has arisen. He does not give to a thought of harming that has arisen. He gets rid of it. He eliminates it. He makes an end of it, send into its ceasing. He does not give in to evil, unskilled mental objects that have constantly arisen. He gets rid of them, eliminates them, makes an end of them. sends them to their ceasing. Whereas monks, if he does not eliminate these thoughts, the taints which are destructive and consuming might arise. But if he eliminates, therefore these taints which are destructive and consuming are known. These monks are called the taints to be got rid of by elimination. So this is actually the you can see the Girimananda Sutta called the Pahana Sanya. That is Pahana Sanya. To get rid of these sensual thoughts and the anger thoughts and thought of harming. So you can see this the second line over here is actually splitting into three parts. The when it is pleasurable, we go into there are 10 Dhamma parts continuing on that one, and that is lead to the suffering. Suffering of this, the alteration of the change of whatever thing it is. And then the second one going to the anger part, the third one going to the cruelty part. So it is splitting into three. So he avoids all those things. And whatever thing actually they are bad, he avoids those ones as well. And what monks are the things to be got rid of by mental development? In this teaching, monks are monk wisely reflective, develop mindfulness as a link in awakening, which is depending on aloofness, depending on lack of attraction, depending on ceasing, ending in renunciation. So this is the mindfulness. That means if you even read this Dhamma again and recall this Dhamma, the mindfulness would arise. So the enlightenment factor of mindfulness come to arise. So when one get the enlightenment factor of the mindfulness, then he would investigate this Dhamma, the teaching, with the wise attention. For he would see that, is it so? Is it actually happening this way? Is it suffering or not? Is it permanent or impermanent? So he investigate. When he investigate this Dhamma, then he was first mindful. Now he investigate with wisdom. And then he put effort to investigate further and further. So then the rapture arises. The happiness comes from, generated from the body. And then, so that is the fourth one. So when one get the rapture, then mind and body become tranquil, tranquilized, because that because he is happy and mindful. So the rapture is, so therefore, body and mind become tranquil. So tranquility is there. When there is this tranquility and then the pleasurable and happy, then mind become concentrated. So that the sixth one in the enlightenment factor. And when one is concentrated, then there are these four jhana states. That the first jhana concentration, the second jhana concentration, the third and the fourth. So when he go up to the third jhana concentration, but if he become indifferent to the jhana, that the third level of pleasure that has arisen, then he go into the equanimity level. So the enlightenment factor of equanimity come to arise. So even mindlessness as a link in awakening, and which is dependent on aloofness, dependent on lack of attraction, dependent on ceasing, ending in renunciation. Whereas monk, if he does not develop these link in awakening, the taints which are destructive and consuming might arise. But he develop them, therefore these taints which are destructive and consuming are not. These monks are called the taints to be got rid of by development. So this the seventh one over here is actually directly attacking the third line over here, the mental volition and that continuing one. There is 10 Dhamma paths completely opposed to this one, and it goes in with destroying that one. That third one. So all the views and all are gone from this seven factors of enlightenment. Monks, in whatever monks, those taints are to be got rid of by vision, are got rid of by vision, by control, by use, by endurance, by avoidance, by elimination, by mental development, are got rid of by mental development. This monk is called monk, one who is controlled with control over all the taints. He has cut off craving, done away with fetter, and by fully mastering pride, will make an end of anguish. Thus spoke the Lord, delighted these monks, rejoicing what the Lord has said. So you can see that the first printout I gave, I gave the first profitable direction as the last one over there. So that is one path, that the painful way with sluggish acquaintanceship. That one is that one got to have the regarding the food, for example. One got to have the contemplating about the food itself, you know, what will happen to that food after eating and so on, and then contemplate about the 32 parts of the body. And the sabbaloki anabirat sanya is that the giving up clinging to all those things, all the worlds, and then impermanent nature. Contemplating the impermanent nature of these volitional formations, whatever the volition that we have. And then the marana, or the contemplation of death, should be there as well. So if someone is called some sort of a way, a patipada way, if someone is doing that, then there is this first meditation, the first jhana concentration. And from that first jhana concentration, there he developed the first foundation of mindfulness, that mindfulness as regards body. So then there is this first abiding, because he has first abiding is dibba vihara, is that means that he is abiding in the jhana concentration. It could be first, second, third, fourth. So therefore there is this first right endeavor coming out of that one. And the first wonderful, marvelous idea is the first noble truth. So you can see it immediately destructed the taint of sensual desire, directly attacking that one. Why we have sensual desire? We pursue those things, and if you think that these things are suffering and creating problems for me, and I see birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, everything is suffering, I am happy to give up these sensual desires. So therefore he getting to the first determination, and then the concentration due to desire, that the mind is now concentrated, and there is this faculty restraint. You see that the second one Buddha mentioned is coming up now. The first one is actually the sixth one over there, isn't it? The first wonderful, marvelous idea, the noble truth, right, is the sixth one, and the second one is the faculty restraint. In the Sabbasa Sutta, the second one mentioned, the controlling of the faculties is that one. From that one, one would go to the loving kindness. So that's one way of achieving results, going through, just by the contemplations about the foul nature of the body and food and so on. So they are all connected. You can see that the diagram is connected, and in the diagrams, cutting points are also in these paths, and the first ones and second ones are in this line itself. It's a great discourse. Very hard, because that there are these seven steps in this, and it's said in short. It's not expanded. So we will stop for today then.